Our first scripture reading this morning comes early in the ministry of Jesus. He has previously called out the 12 apostles from among the many disciples who have been following him. He's begun teaching, healing, forgiving sins, and most recently, the sins of the woman who bravely came to the house of the Pharisee where Jesus was eating and anointed his feet with oil. Hear now these words from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Cusa, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their resources. Our second scripture reading this morning takes place on the third day after Jesus' death. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary have been eagerly waiting. They had watched Joseph of Arimathea 2 evenings prior take, wrap, and place Jesus' body in the tomb, but then they had to leave. The Sabbath was going to start. So they've waited and waited till the Sabbath was finally over, and now they are ready to visit the tomb again. Hear now these words from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message to you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
We actually don't know much about Mary Magdalene from the Gospels. The 2 passages we have already heard this morning are almost all that we have. More than any other woman in the New Testament, except for Jesus' mother, but it's still not much. We know from Luke that she was relieved of 7 demons, and that she then became a member of Jesus' entourage who provided for him, along with others, from her resources. This short passage establishes her as a follower of Jesus, a member of his community. It also contains tantalizing clues to her status in the world and in the Jesus community. She is mentioned first, and she is not identified in relation to a man. She is not someone's wife. She is not someone's mother. She is not someone's daughter or sister. In fact, in the handful of times that she is mentioned in the Gospels, she is always listed first, except in the crucifixion scene in John, where only Jesus' mother and aunt are listed before her, and she is never identified as in a relationship to a man. Mary appears in the canonical Gospels at Jesus' crucifixion and a third time at the resurrection. In all 4 Gospels, Mary Magdalene is present at both the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This is incredibly significant. She has not been mentioned since that brief passage near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and then only by Luke. And yet here she is in all 4 Gospels as a witness to Jesus' death, and most significantly, the first witness to his resurrection. In the Gospel of John, it is only Mary Magdalene who goes to the tomb. Jesus appears to her alone, gives her the news that he is risen, and gives her the charge of bringing this news to the rest of the disciples. For this reason, she has been known throughout history as the apostle to the apostles, an important pivotal role in the formation of the church. So it seems there should be more to this woman's story, who holds such an iconic place in modern Christian thought, than just these passages. Why did Jesus appear first to a woman who only appears once in the gospel before that? Obviously, there is more to Mary's story. She is a key figure in many of the writings that did not make it in to the accepted biblical canon. And so we come to the Gospel of Mary, only fragments of which exist to this day. In the Gospel, according to Mary Magdalene, Jesus spends a lot more time talking to Mary, and only Mary, after the resurrection. Her interaction with the other apostles is more fleshed out. In this first reading from the Gospel of Mary, Jesus has subsequently appeared to all the disciples after his appearance to Mary alone. He spends some time teaching them, and then he leaves. Here is what happens next, according to the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. But they were grieved. They wept greatly, saying, "How shall we go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel of the kingdom of the Son of Man? If they did not spare him, how will they spare us?" Then Mary stood up, greeted them all, and said to her brethren, "Do not weep, and do not grieve, nor be irresolute, for his grace will be entirely with you and will protect you. But rather let us praise his greatness, for he has prepared us and made us into men." When Mary said this, she turned their hearts to the good, and they began to discuss the words of the Savior. Peter said to Mary, "Sister, we know that the Savior loved you more than the rest of women. Tell us the words of the Savior which you remember, which you know that we do not, nor have we heard them." Mary answered and said, "What is hidden from you, I will proclaim to you." Well, the Mary Magdalene that we meet in this passage is indeed the apostle to the apostles. When the others fear for their lives and do not wish to go out and preach what Jesus has taught them, she is the one who gets up and stands before them as a leader and turns their hearts to good. She was a woman to whom the other disciples listened. Unfortunately, a great deal of Mary's account is missing, but the things Jesus revealed to her have to do with how the soul can transcend the world and find eternal rest. When she is finished telling the other disciples what Jesus has revealed to her, the gospel continues in chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. When Mary had said all this, she fell silent, since it was to this point that the Savior had spoken with her. But Andrew answered and said to the brethren, "Well, say what you wish to about what she has said. I at least do not believe that the Savior said this, for certainly these teachings are strange ideas." Peter answered and spoke concerning these same things. He questioned them about the Savior. "Did he really speak with a woman without our knowledge, not openly? Are we to turn about and all listen to her? Did he prefer her to us?" Then Mary wept and said to Peter, "My brother Peter, what do you think? Do you think that I thought this up myself in my heart, or that I am lying about the Savior? Levi answered and said to Peter, "Peter, you have always been hot-tempered. Now I see you contending against the women like the adversaries. But if the Savior made her worthy, who are you indeed to reject her? Surely the Savior knows her very well. This is why he loved her more than us." There's a lot that can be said about that passage. And it is indeed a different picture of Mary Magdalene than what made it into the official canon. She seems to be interacting with the disciples on at least an equal level, if not somewhat elevated. Elsewhere in the writings that did not make it into the New Testament, Mary Magdalene was someone who always walked with the Lord. That was according to the Gospel of Philip. The Gospel of Peter refers to her specifically as a disciple of Jesus. The dialogue of the Savior refers to her as a woman who had understood completely. And in the Pista Sophia, Jesus says that Mary Magdalene and John are the greatest of the disciples. This account and other non-canonical gospels also show the kind of power struggle that we saw here between Mary and Peter. And Peter does not come out looking so good in some of these instances. He is portrayed as antagonistic and misogynistic, but in the end, it's a struggle that Peter apparently won. I don't know if anybody else sees it this way, and maybe I'm being a little paranoid, but it's beginning to seem to me that there was a systematic, conscious effort to erase Mary Magdalene from the storybook and to diminish her role in the early church. However, through the early centuries of the church, Mary was held in high esteem, and her influence was not so easily silenced. Someone wrote down this gospel, her gospel, in the late second century. So her story had been in circulation orally for well over 100 years. But when the official canon of the Christian church was finally set, not only Mary's gospel, but all of those gospels in which she features prominently, and Peter is perhaps shown with some cracks in the armor, those were not included in the New Testament. And there was then a concerted effort to destroy all the copies of those gospels, which in those days would not have been such a difficult task because probably there were not a lot of written copies of these gospels. But her voice and her story remained strong. In fact, in the Eastern Church, she has throughout history enjoyed a high stature as a religious and spiritual leader. Hippolytus, a leader of the church in the mid-3rd century, went so far as to call her one of the apostles. She was a strong woman, independent of any man, and an esteemed disciple of Jesus. Obviously, something had to be done. And that something was a sermon made in 591 by Pope Gregory, in which he stated that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Okay. Here is what we know about her from the Gospels. She was a follower of Jesus who provided for him. She was present at his death, along with his mother and his aunt. She was the first person to whom the risen Christ revealed himself, and she was the person to whom Jesus entrusted the charge of spreading the news of his resurrection. How do we get prostitute from that? Oh yes, the 7 demons. Jesus had driven 7 demons from her, so obviously she was a prostitute. There could be no other explanation. Well, as it turns out, there could be other explanations. Demons were understood to cause a variety of ailments, both physical and mental, none of them having anything to do with being a member of the world's oldest profession. Jesus drove demons from many people, both men and women, and the world does not assume that they were prostitutes. But for some reason, Mary Magdalene was given this reputation as a woman of loose morals, to say the least. Some have postulated that this reputation came about as a counterpoint to that of the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. Who knows? I think it is fair to say that Mary Magdalene got a reputation she didn't deserve. She was an important leader of the early church who held a great deal of spiritual authority. She ran into a power struggle with Peter, and the patriarchal society in which she lived eventually relegated her to the sidelines, and the patriarchal society of the church in the 6th century branded her a harlot. What is so amazing about this story is that, try as they might, despite all of this, the Gospel of Mary has survived, albeit only in bits and pieces. It survived hundreds of years of suppression and attempts to destroy it. And it comes to us today, the story of a woman who was saved by Jesus and then followed him, cared for him, and was a foundational member of the early church. I am a glass half full kind of a person, so I tend to look for the positive message in all of this. True, I am saddened that we have lost most of Mary's gospel. And I would really like to know what Jesus said to her during those hours that he spoke after he rose from the dead. I am intrigued by the snippets that do survive, our souls transcending this world, for instance. And I would dearly love to read the rest of it. But so far, those missing pages have not been found. But what I would like to focus on is what we can learn from the story that, as we know it, of Mary Magdalene. For one thing, I think we can learn that you can't keep a good woman down. For many years, scholars have been tearing apart this idea that Mary was a prostitute. And in 1969, the Catholic Church itself finally admitted that there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Mary Magdalene was such. And she is today considered one of the greatest saints of the Catholic Church. Also, I think a lesson I need to learn from this is that we need to take care of what stories we believe and spread. This particular baseless rumor that Mary Magdalene was a loose woman certainly had legs. It got up, walked out the door, and halfway around the world for a few centuries before people stopped to consider whether it was true or not. Now, I'm not gonna go all Da Vinci Code on you. I enjoyed the book and the movie, but I don't buy Dan Brown's portrayal of Mary any more than I do Pope Gregory's. I think we lose a lot when we take a 180-degree turn and claim that Mary was a kind of royal bride for Jesus. Let's not forget that Jesus did save Mary. He ridded her of 7 demons. That's a lot. The recommended number of demons inside you is 0. So she had issues. She had problems. She was a sinner, like all of us. But she was worthy. That, to me, is what her story is all about. And that is what I think is Mary's most important role. She is someone we can all identify with. If Mary Magdalene, who had 7 demons inside her, could become so close to Jesus that she was said to have understood him more completely than anyone else, if she could become a figure of spiritual authority, could become a tower of strength that stood by Jesus through his crucifixion, who never, for instance, denied knowing him three times, if she could become the one to whom Jesus revealed his risen self and given the charge of spreading the most significant piece of news in history, if Mary Magdalene was worthy of all of this, then there is hope for all of us. In God's world, in Jesus's world, we are never beyond redemption, no matter what. Levi says in this account that the Savior made her worthy. I think this can be interpreted two different ways. That Jesus made Mary worthy by healing her, or it could be read that Mary was created worthy, or a little bit of both. We are all created worthy, and we all, at times, fall short of that for many reasons. Sometimes by creating and spreading baseless rumors about others because we feel jealous or threatened by them. But we can always find our way back to that place of worthiness. We can find our way back through grace. We can find our way back to that place in which we feel worthy of God's love, no matter how far afield we have roamed. Because God's final word is always, always forgiveness and redemption for all of us. Amen.